What was so a pretty bitter exchange on social media today? Somebody says, "What's the best way to cure depression?" And somebody said, "Love it, so it leaves you too." Oh, ouchies, ouchies. All right. So, I'm happy to take questions. I'm happy to hear what you have to say, all that kind of good stuff. On the other hand, I did get an email. Now, this is somebody, one email over the last 17 years. Apparently, somebody broke into my devices, and oh my God, they've been tracking my completely dull search history. All right, so this is somebody who emailed me. I had a call with him before, and here's what he said. He said, "Steph, I did a call in with you a while back ago. It doesn't really matter. You told me I should keep you updated, so I'm reaching out again. I'm still angry, and it hurts, and I feel like I'm going to die out here. Your comment about people sweeping the truth about female immorality under the rug because they feel there's no alternative really hit me. What does a person do if they are one of the people who can't compete in a true meritocracy and gets resentful and tries to pull the winners down? I feel like I'm drowning in my own resentment. Every time I see an attractive woman, either in image or in real life, I'm reminded of what a failure I am. I know it's wrong to hate women, but I do. I feel like I'm starving and negotiating for food with a person who knows I can't walk away. And the only thing I have to offer is my ability to work, which I have to do anyway. I feel like there's no way out. I know that there is nothing more pathetic to a woman than a man who thinks he is owed something, but I have nothing. I'm 21, but I've never had sex, and there are reminders everywhere with no path to achieve it except the endless mantra of wait and behave. I just read A Tale of Two Cities, and the picture of resentment that it communicated was unbelievably powerful." That's Dickens. It's about the French Revolution. I actually have never been able to make it through that book. "Thank you for your time. I really enjoy listening to you, and the people in your community seem to benefit greatly from your work. Maybe treat this as a listener question for a live stream." So, my heart goes out. You know, my heart goes out to this kind of situation. Thank you for the tip, my friend. I really, really appreciate that. It doth make my heart sing. So, give me a minus 10 to plus 10. Give me a minus 10 to plus 10 on how much you love the feminine, the female, the women. Minus 10, really don't. Plus 10, love. Not want, actually love. Ten plus six. Okay, so we have very female positive people here. That's good. I love women. All right. I find it difficult to answer. So, when you see an attractive woman, do you feel resentment or do you feel, what do you feel? Yeah, I'm sorry, you're right about that. And I apologize for that. The question is too vague. I can't help but concur, and so I doth confer. Let me ask you this, and this is for the men here. This could be for the women too, if you see an attractive man or attractive woman, I guess, if that's your thing. But if you see an attractive woman, say she's sitting alone at a Starbucks, and you might want to sit down next to her and strike up a conversation, and the thought crosses your mind, well, she's here, she's alone, she might want someone to chat with. And here's the thing, like, you sit down and you chat with a woman, not with the goal of, I'm going to get her to sleep with me or something like that, but you sit down, you just make a comment or two and see how receptive she is. Like, she might normally be receptive, maybe she's just having a really bad day, maybe she just got the worst news of her life, maybe she's got cramps or something like that, right? So you just, you sit down with her or near her, and you just pass a couple of comments here back and forth or whatever it is, and see if she is someone who might enjoy a conversation. I mean, that's all that happens, right? I mean, that's all that happens is you see if somebody might like a conversation. And so if you see this now, when I say an attractive woman, I just mean a woman who's attractive to you. I don't know whether she'd be a model or something like that, but when you see an attractive woman and you think, if you're single, and you think of the opportunity of chatting with her, Ah, Dan, there you go. Boom. Oh, we're getting somewhere now, baby. You say, yeah, but women know men don't just want conversation. Well, duh. Of course. Of course. Of course. So? I mean, the mating dance, the rituals, the back and forth, that's the whole frisson, right? That's the whole thing. Of course, if you sit down, you chat with a woman, if she's an attractive woman or whatever, if you just chat with a woman, assuming you're, let's just say you're in roughly the similar age groups and so on. Yeah, she knows that you're thinking about possibly asking her out or possibly trying to get to know her or whatever it is, right? Engaging in a conversation. Of course she knows that, you know, and you know that. So, you know, but women know men don't just want conversation. That's right. That's right. Men want companionship. They want a mother for their children. They want a partner to go through life with, right? Somebody says, this is how me and my husband met. Browsing the university bookstore and started chatting. Got my number before checking out. Right. I looked to see if she'd be open, make eye contact, smile, and so on, right? Yeah. I would just offer, if she has got a nice drink, I just offered her tradesies. I just have a stinky Americano. You've got something frothy that looks like it's made from the sugary blood of vampires. Let's trade. When you put it that way, Steph, I go, yikes. I hate to be that meme or that stereotype, but I usually get too nervous. Only very recently can I talk to women. It's still rough. Yeah. Yeah, so you know that we're wired to talk to women, right? Like, you know that, right? No. It is just conversation. No, it at the beginning, it is just conversation because you're trying to figure out if you want to have any more conversation with her. It absolutely is conversation at the beginning. I mean, when I was single, I would talk to women and I would just see, were they witty? Were they engaging? Were they positive? Were they intelligent? If I made a reference to some book, would they just stare at me blankly? And all of that, right? And yeah, and were they friendly? You know, who wants to be with someone the whole life who's not friendly? Now, again, someone can be having a bad day and all of that, so I get all of that. But no, at the beginning, like, guys, you got to not invert pyramid the stress on this situation. At the beginning, it is absolutely just conversation. You see, if you are nervous about going up to talk to a woman, it's because you're nervous you're going to be rejected. And that's not the reality of the situation. You gotta blow that right out of your mind. Just blow that right out. It's not, you see, you're evaluating her to see if you want to keep talking to her, right? Am I wrong about this? Aren't you talking to her to see if she's someone you want to talk to? Not, oh God, I wonder if she'll talk back. I wonder if she'll like me. Like, be in the position of evaluating her. It's like when you're going for a job. You're not, oh God, if I don't get the job, I'm going to starve to death and my everything's over and blah, 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 blah. By the way, please, please, Lord above, do not go and see the movie Elemental. My daughter suggested we go and do a movie review of it, which we'll probably do tomorrow. But, don't go see it, man. It's just absolutely wretched. Even by sort of modern standards, it's absolutely wretched. It's one of the few times I've actually almost fallen asleep during a movie. Back when I was single, I was scared women would yell as if it were assaulting them if I approached them. Well, of course women are nervous. Of course they are, right? So you talk to a woman in a crowded place, in a public place, you know, jump out behind a garbage can in an alley saying, hey, want a chat? You're going to get tasered. So, no, you're seeing if there's a connection. That's all. You're just seeing if there's a connection. That's all you're doing. Is there a connection? Do we enjoy each other's company? Can we make each other smile? Do we have a similar worldview? Do we like any of the same things? You're just seeing, is there any kind of connection? I mean, I remember, so when I was working on my novel, Almost, I worked in a coffee shop across the street from where I lived. I lived in an apartment back in the day. And I, this was at Yonge and Eglinton in Canada, and I went to a coffee shop on the corner. And I was really saving money at the time. So I would nurse an Americano. You could get a giant Americano. And I would just nurse that for a couple of hours. And I remember I had a laptop which had 20 megs of space. Of course, some of it was taken up by Windows. Some of it was taken up by the word processor that I used. And I used to load on just the right music. And I was kind of obsessive about this. Like, I'd know the chapter I'm going to work on. And I would choose the music that was going to work with that chapter, whether it was older people, younger people, French, because this is a novel that takes place all the way across Europe. And French people, German people, like, I'd get the right music. I'd have to have just the right music in that little space on the laptop. It was a, gosh, I remember this from a place called Mighty Max. It was a 386 SX25, not the DX, because that came with a Math coprocessor, which I didn't need. 386 SX25. No, no, it had a 60 meg hard drive. It was 20 megs free after I had everything on it. And I just remember there was a cute cashier. And when I would go up, sometimes I'd ask for a little bit more hot water for my coffee. Because as I said, I was really trying to save money because I was taking the year off to write books. And I remember she was complaining about insomnia or something like that. And I told her about a book I'd read. It was actually a pretty good book called Say Goodnight to Insomnia, about to help with insomnia. And she said, oh, yeah. Like, you know, like this sort of gum snapping, half nasal thing. Like she was like a rockette on Quaaludes. And, oh, yeah, I just remember that. Like sort of bored, indifferent, and it's nasal. And I was like, she ain't pretty. She just looks that way. Like Janice from Friends. Yeah, not that bad. No, I had 2 megabytes of RAM. I had 2 megabytes of RAM on that computer. I paid $1,100 freaking dollars for it. And then I dropped it once and I had to pay $200 to get the screen fixed. All right. Let me just catch up with your quotes. Yeah, so here's the thing, too. You don't... Have you ever been... Let me ask you this. Have you ever been in a relationship with somebody who's really kind of paranoid? Hit me with a why if you've ever been in a relationship with somebody who's really kind of paranoid. 486, 66. Oh, that was smoking. She, yeah, was smoking. Yeah, never? No? It's, okay, from 1 to 10, how exhausting was that, being in a relationship with somebody who just thinks the worst is always going to happen, is paranoid, they think they're being followed, they, you know, like it's just exhausting, right? I mean, it's like a vampire, it's like a leech on your neck, just draining your entire lymphatic system. Ah! Horrifying. Yeah. Yeah, that's no good. So that's another thing too. So if you approach a woman and she's like, ah, you know, whatever, right? Is scared of everything, well, not gonna be a good dating, right? So if she's scared when you come up and talk to her, and again, could be a bad day, you don't want to judge everyone by one day or whatever, but you know, you have to sort of judge people as you find them. And so if you go up to a woman and she's kind of really nervous and jumpy and staring around and whatever, it's like, okay, then good luck with your jittery life, you know? Like you are trying to see if there's a connection, right? It was more insecurity came out as paranoia sometimes. Yeah, I don't mean like institutionalized paranoia. I don't mean like you've got to medicate with a bucket full of Quaaludes over the head paranoia. I'm just talking about really jumpy, really nervous. See, okay, I just want to, like, hit me with the why if you've ever made your money from selling things. Anyone? Right. So people who haven't done sales part commission, yeah, okay. So, yeah, it's about 50-50. So, I mean, it's a bit of a trick question because everyone's selling all the time, right? I'm selling philosophy to you right now. Does eBay count? No, eBay doesn't count. It has to be like direct talking to someone sales. So a lot of people have this idea, and this is going to be a really important life lesson for you. So sorry to be Mr. Crawdaddy with high suspenders whittling on the back porch telling you about life, son. But no, so it's a really important lesson. Sales, a lot of people have a mistaken thing that salespeople are pushy and you know, like that Herb Tarlick Volkswagen seat suit cornering you And that's not sales in any meaningful way. That's a cliche. So writers tend to be quite shy people. And so when writers describe salespeople, there's a mixture of shyness and envy. So salespeople are almost always depicted in a negative way by almost all writers. And you can think of Death of a Salesman. You can think of Glengarry Glen Ross. And you can think of WKRP in Cincinnati. I mean, unless, you know, have you seen or read a story where a salesman is portrayed in a very positive way? They're almost always portrayed negatively. And maybe I've missed something, but it's almost always the case that a salesman is portrayed in a very, very negative way. I can't stand salespeople, so fake. So you have that anger, right? They're always tricksters. So you've been programmed to dislike sales, right? Salesmen. Yeah, used car salesmen. Yeah, absolutely. It's always portrayed in this kind of way. So why do you think, yeah, the word salesman, in pursuit of happiness, yeah, nothing kind of, like, every time you see a salesman, it's negative. Why? Why do you think that is? Why do you think you are always programmed to think in a negative way about sales? Quick question, right? Quick question. It's an important question. Why is it uniformly hostile? Why aren't uniformly hostile to salespeople? Well, communism is a good answer to just about anything. But why are you told repeatedly, programmed into you, pounded into you, sales are bad, sales are bad? Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, John Candy was sympathetic. But John Candy was a complete and total loser in that movie. So you don't value self. All right. You guys are fairly close, but fairly close. Because salesmen have to work their ass off. Freeloaders don't want to work. Oh, no, no. Salesmen can make a very good living with relatively easily, right? I think I was a good salesman. I was actually honest. So I didn't take advantage. Fair, LOL, keep you from starting a family. People running the art industry. Deep state does not want entrepreneurship. Right. Okay, so let me ask you this. The people who run movie studios and the people who run publishing houses and the people who run television studios, do you think they're good at sales? Do you think that they know how to sell? Do you think that they are good at selling? The people who run our cultural institutions, are they good at selling? Right. Now, do they want a lot of competition? Do they want people who are also good at selling? If they're pushing propaganda, do they want people who are good at selling? Do they want to train people on all of their ticks and trips so that they can lose control of the cultural narrative and other people can make money and other people can do all of this great stuff? Right. You are programmed to think down on sales, so you can't sell anything. Oh, you got to stay away from sales. Like, look at all the things that anytime there's a movie set in the 50s that has been around since the 70s, anytime there's a movie set in the 50s, there's a new one, Asteroid City, coming out or whatever it is, right? Anytime there's a movie set in the 50s, how does 50s get portrayed? That's terrible, right? Plastic, stepford wives, way too much compliance, people secretly alcoholics, dysfunction, blah, 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 blah. Every single damn movie set in the 50s. Why? So the moment you think of or read about the 50s, you have a negative perspective and opinion. Because the 50s was the strongest anti-communist decade in American history. I got to keep you away. You understand? You're scared away from the stuff that's good for you. You're scared away from the stuff that's good for you. Now, whenever you see a movie about young people, how are the sportsmen and the sportswomen portrayed? Yeah, they're bullies, they're dumb, nerds, right? Yep, yep, yep. They're a-holes, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, beyond Olympian ability. But now, how many riders do you think are really good athletes, or even decent athletes? How many riders do you think are good athletes? Yeah, like maybe 1 out of 1,000 is very low. It's very low. All of them? I would not say so. I mean, there are some, for sure. There are some. So why would writers want to desperately portray jocks as idiots and evil? Why would writers want to continually portray salespeople as corrupt, malicious, and pushy, and jocks as bullies and psychos and idiots? Yeah, to program women to reject the jocks. Do you know that there is a fairly strong positive correlation between IQ and athletic ability? And were you aware of that? Did you know that? Was that being also consistently hidden from you? Yeah, because IQ is a faster brain a lot of times, and IQ, a faster brain, will often translate into faster reflexes. Yeah. It's the one thing. I mean, I have some decent athletic ability, and I've won a couple of competitions in my life. Obviously, nothing particularly major. And I was like the 7th best swimmer in Ontario when I was a kid, or a teenager. And I'm certainly not top tier by any stretch of the imagination, but I'm a good amateur athlete. That's all I can possibly, like, nowhere near the top tier. I'm a good amateur athlete. That's the best I can say. Now, and the one thing that is always commented upon is my reflexes are ridiculous. My reflexes are ridiculous. Now, what's another reason why? See, it's not the writers have their stories, but let's sort of look historically. The writers have their stories, but it's the publishers who decide who gets published and who gets promoted, right? So why would the publishers want to push the narrative that athletic people are dumb, evil, and corrupt? Why would they want to push that narrative? There's a couple of answers to this, by the way. Somebody says, worked out and trained at fancy gyms in New York City, etc. Most are very intelligent people there, high culture, etc. Yeah. They need people reading books instead of working out. Okay, fair, but I mean, of course, I get that. But why, in particular, do cultural elites want you to avoid exercise, particularly with weights? To keep people weak in the mind and body? Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. To keep me more lefty. That's right. Yeah, that's exactly right, Jared. So, I don't know if you know this, but there's a very strong correlation between upper body strength and right-wing views. There's a very strong correlation between, if you get additional testosterone, that your views become more right-wing. And of course, weak people need authorities to take care of them because they can't protect themselves. Weak, stupid, maladjusted are portrayed as the real competent people, and the well-adjusted are portrayed as morons, psychos, and villains. Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's right. And this is another reason why, if you think of the movies over the past couple of decades, who is portrayed more positively? People who are good athletes or people who smoke a lot of weed? Who are the cool people? Who are the fun people? Who are the winners in this fantastical universe where self-discipline and exercise and eating well, eating in a healthy manner, and how many, you know, burnouts with Cheeto dust on their chest, right? Yeah, Paulie Shore, for sure, yeah. Seth Rogen, And yeah, so you understand that it's not art, right? We haven't had art. We haven't had art in probably about 100 years, maybe a little longer, because all of the Steinbeck stuff and the Dust Bowl stuff and the Grapes of Wrath stuff, of course, all of that was lefty propaganda. All of the Depression stuff and all of that, right? So, have you seen a movie where somebody who waits to have sex ends up with a better relationship than somebody who has sex right away? I mean, I remember noticing this decades ago with Woody Allen movies. Like, they just fall into bed and, right? Never seen a movie of someone waiting to have sex. Isn't there any dialogue in porn? No? Okay. Yeah, they push promiscuity nonstop, right? Have you ever seen anyone who ends up with negative consequences from promiscuity? Because there are. Obviously, there's bonding issues. You can get stalkers, psychos. There are sexually transmitted diseases. I mean, the STD epidemic, particularly in the States among teens, is ridiculous. I think it's like 1 in 4 teens now has an STD. It's just appalling, right? Have you ever seen a movie where a woman divorces her husband in her 40s and ends up lonely, isolated, and alone and bitterly regretting her divorce? Heck no. Yeah. So you understand, we don't have art. Do demons run the media? No, I think demons are frightened of the people who run the media. The Western children's books are always father absent. The Chinese children's books are always father present. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we don't have art. We have social programming. It's propaganda. It's worse than Christian morality tales, which are very simplistic things acted out to credulous villagers in like the 15th, 14th, 13th century. We don't have art. At all. We have lefty programming, and which is obviously it's very, very effective and so on, right? So, yeah, just be aware of that, right? So when you think of sales, so sales is an extraordinarily honorable occupation. Now, art is supposed to be a celebration and exploration of what human beings can do and create. I get what you're saying, but that's a bit, you know, why is that art and not engineering, or physics or whatever, right? No, art is a way of bypassing philosophy to implant lessons of preference. Art is a way of bypassing morality and bypassing our rational faculties in order to implant desires within us, really against our will. Really against our will. Modern art, depictions of promiscuity, violence, vanity, and narcissism. Yeah, for sure. Have you ever seen, you know, this Cats in the Cradle, the Harry Chapin song? Have you ever seen this a movie where a guy's too busy for his kids and then they end up too busy for him later on in life? I mean, it doesn't really have as much of an effect if you see it, right? And you recognize it, right? It doesn't really have as much of an effect, which is why media literacy is and media literacy is absolutely essential. If you're a parent in particular, to see all the programming that's going on. Somebody says, no, but that's going to be me with my father. Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. I really am. It's very sad. It's very sad. So, yeah, the people who are, I mean, it's all projection, right? So the people who are pushing stuff that's like, what is the typical thing about a salesman, right? A salesman is bad because a salesman bullies and corners and bribes and cajoles and all of that, corners you and ends up with you having buying something that's bad for you, right? So you understand that that's That's the media, right? And so they're just projecting onto salespeople what they're actually doing. Yeah. I mean, in Glengarry Glen Ross, Jack Lemmon always plays the same sort of hard-upon 50s gray man in a gray flannel suit guy. But yeah, they're just desperate to make their sales to get, you know, the first one gets a Buick, the second one gets a set of steak knives. Coffee is for closers. And you got Brill Cream Alec Baldwin with his, I made $900,000 with his FASIC watch and blah, 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 blah. Cadillac Eldorado. Yeah, that's right. That's right. So, yeah, so what's happening is you have a bunch of gammas, like gamma males, the beta males or whatever, and they're resentful of the confidence of people who think they have something to value to offer, right? And so those people, that the writers write really angry stories about corrupt salespeople, and then the people who are really good at sales, who are at the top of these media industries, push that out so that when anybody says, oh, I'm thinking of going into sales, people are like, oh, God, you don't want to go into sales. It's such a corrupt and scummy environment. Oh, gross, sales, ugh, right? And that way, the actual salespeople at the top of the culture who are pushing propaganda, they don't have any competition, right? So, no, sales is a very honorable occupation, because what sales does is sales, and salespeople have to have long careers, right? Salespeople have to have, even the sort of pushy, I've never actually met a pushy used car salesman. I've never met a pushy car salesman. They're always very polite. They're always very restrained. They're always looking for a benefit and so on. And yes, what they will do is they will try to break down your resistance to something that it might be good for you to have, right? Look, hit me with the why if you've ever tried to talk someone into doing something good for themselves, right? You got to eat less. You got to exercise. You got to read more books. You got to get outside. You got to get more vitamin D. You got to get your blood work done. You got to go talk to these girls. You got to, you know, like, you got to get some education. You got to get out of this dead-end job. My God, do you know how much time we spend in this existence just trying to get people to stop doing stupid stuff? Right. You understand, we're selling, right? We're selling. Are we bad? Are we corrupt? Yeah, you got to read this book, UPP, right? I mean, me going to atheists saying, hey, you guys are really, you don't have a system of ethics, man. I got a whole system of ethics here. Doesn't need God. Oh, does it mean we don't need government in that way too? Oh, right. Oh, I don't want it then, right? So, yeah, I mean, we could live pretty much forever if we added to the end of our life all of the time we wasted away. No eternal reward will forgive us now for wasting the dawn. Wasting all the time, shouting down the well of other people's indifference, saying, hey, there's light up here, there's some grass, there's some vitamin D, you don't have to be a cavefish, why don't you come on up, evolve, get some arms, I'll come down and get you, I'll put down a net, I'll put down a rope, I'll put down a helium balloon, you just come out of the well. Echo, 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 nothing, 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 right? Stop trying to change the normies? Oh, yeah, yeah, absolutely, yeah, yeah, for sure. I mean, that's the great release of deplatforming, is like, well, I guess the job of reason is done, right? So, yeah, so what is a salesman doing? You are trying to sell people making better decisions. And hit me with a why if you've ever had, oh, it's like the burr and the splinter of the mind's eye, the yes, but personality. Have you ever dealt with the yes, but personality? Hit me with a why. You ever dealt with that yes, but personality? Boy, there's an empty-headed rat's maze of Velcro on your nutsack. Yeah, isn't it? Yeah, but, you know, yes, but. But what about the roads? Oh, but what about the trolley problem? Yes, we could have a free and wonderful society, but, right, oh my God. So you understand that If you hadn't been trained away from sales, as I was trained away from sales, you'd be better at helping people make better decisions. But if you're helping people make better decisions, then those people will get better. They won't need those in power. They'll learn how to convince others, and they'll be able to point out the programming, right? See, once you learn sales, you can see sales, right? Once you learn sales, you can see sales. So another reason why people don't want you studying sales is then you'll be relatively immune to propaganda. Because propaganda sees, you see all the secret machinery, the wizard behind the curtain, and all of the innards that go into producing all of this nonsense, right? Somebody says, I work in IT now, but when I was young, I did some sales. There's something amazing about bringing genuinely good products to people who need them. I sold high-quality meat, vacuum cleaners, and encyclopedias, and I never once felt dirty. With the meat, we would have a barbecue night, and I would only pity the poor sad clowns who yelled at me for trying to give them something glorious. Yeah, listen, I mean, some salesmen, I hate sort of a cliche, but my single mom used to love having salespeople come into the house. She actually, I remember once we had some, I'm pretty sure they were Mormon missionaries in the house as well. I remember showing them my Lancaster bomber model. But my mom used to love having these salespeople in, and one of these salesmen, God help him, God love him, God bless him, sold my mother an Encyclopedia Britannica, which I then leafed through obsessively as a kid, and, you know, it was just fantastic, right? So let's say that you've got someone and, you know, they need to get to a gym. They need to go and exercise. Now, if you can convince them to go and exercise, you've taken their money and you've given them a benefit. And people have this, but I don't want to. And listen, I've had that too. I remember when I was in the business world and I first got my car allowance, $700 a month for a car. Now, of course, being, you know, Mr. Creaky Howard Hughes, Scottish guy with the cobweb dusty wallet, I was like, oh, well, I can probably get a car much cheaper than that and keep the difference. And remember the board was saying, no, you're going to go and pick up. You know, you would recognize every company that I sold to. And he's like, you're going to go and pick up people. They're going to come out and vet our business. You cannot show up in some seven-color Adam Sandler jalopy car. You got to have a nice car. So I got a car. Now, that was hard for me. It was hard for me to go out and spend a decent amount of money on a nice car. And I got a 98 Volvo S70 back in, 98. And I drove that car into dust. It was glorious. And I got it because it looked almost exactly like a toy car I had as a kid. I just saw that car and I was like, yes, got to have that car. It was a nice red sporty car with a sunroof. And it's hard. Now, they had to basically sell me and tell me why I had to get this nice car. And, you know, it makes a difference. It makes a difference. You show up in a nice suit, it makes a difference. You get a nice haircut, it makes a difference. You get your teeth whitened, it makes a difference. These things make a difference. They show confidence, they show self-esteem, exercise, muscles, being relatively a healthy weight. These all make differences. Thank you so much for your tip. I appreciate that. Look at me. Sales. Sales. So thank you. Thank you very much. Michaela Peterson claimed some people can't work out, and Rogan, of all people, owned her in that exchange. I mean, yeah, Rogan obviously is a bit of a slimy puff adder of statism, but the man obviously knows his exercise, and I would listen to him about that. So, yeah, salespeople are a way that they can liberate you from your limitations. They can liberate you from your childhood. If you grew up poor, salespeople help unshackle your cheapness, because when you spend some money on things, you have faith in the future. If you hoard, it's because you are living small and you don't want to spend the money and you don't want to go and do this thing and you're just living small and living tight. And you have to, I think, have some confidence in the future and say, I'm going to spend some money. I can make more money. It's not going to be an the end of the world. If something doesn't work out, I just threw a godforsaken amount of money into AI. And by the way, right after this, we're gonna do some AI stuff because I think it's pretty much ready for people to go in. So salespeople liberate you from this small-minded. I mean, let me just ask you this. 10 being rich, poor being like 1 being poor, 10 being rich. How did you grow up? 10 being, I don't know, maybe you lived in your car for like 1 being like you lived in a car for a while, 10. You got your own car with a bow on it when you were 16. Right. Okay, so we've got some wealthy and some middle class people. Nobody here is particularly poor. Okay, that's good to know. You can still tip, you know. You can prove it by tipping. You can prove to me how not poor you are. Homeless for a while as a teen. Okay, that's pretty poor. That's pretty poor. 2 to 4. Mother depended on her parents for money. Okay. Comfortably skilled working class. 7. Okay. Right. So, haven't you... Okay, what did you buy that was the hardest thing for you to buy in terms of, I can't spend this? What was the hard... It could be... Is it car? It could be house. Could be computer. Shipping fees. Where you just like, oh, that's... I don't know, man. Oh. House. And okay, tell me what percentage did you buy? The last thing you bought that you were uneasy about, and 100% being you can just do it, what percentage did you feel you were over? Right? What percentage did you feel that you were over? Were you 200, like it was a double what you felt comfortable with? Or and comfortable, you know, like you can make it, right? So 100%, like let's say you can afford a $300,000 house, you buy a $300,000 house. If you buy a $600,000 house, you're 100% over, like you're double, right? If you say, well, my budget for a computer is $1,000, you spend $3,000, then you're, you know, 300%. So tell me how far over. Last big expense with a new PC, it took weeks to work up the nerve. Oh, yeah, yeah. You can't think of an uncomfortable purchase? Damn it, man, go make some uncomfortable purchases. I once blew $13,000 on a coaching certificate. Wow. Your AC unit, car, 100%. Every purchase for me is uncomfortable. I hear what you're saying. You did a 500% one. Oh, man, that's brave. That's brave. That's brave. I spent $5,000 keeping my cat alive. Oh, dude. Really? You spent $5,000 keeping your cat alive? Okay, somebody says maybe 10%. I could afford it, but it's still very hard. I'm just glad I bought my car in full to avoid massive interest payments. Massive interest payments. Who cares? Who cares? Interest payments. God, people talk about interest payments like you're just handing over money for no reason whatsoever. It's like, no, you're handing money over so you have more money now so you can buy Bitcoin. Right? So I don't know. This idea that you just have to wait to save up until you have it. I mean, people don't do that with their houses. What you want to do is try and find some place where you have a very low interest rate, right? So if you can get financing for a couple of points, you're making money, right? Because inflation is probably higher. We are working class. Interest is not good. No, interest is glorious. Interest is glorious. Interest exists because we're mortal. Interest is absolutely glorious. You should very much enjoy the possibility of buying things on credit, in my humble opinion. No, it's a great thing. It's because you get it now. Now, I get, like, if you end up paying $500 for a $200 pair of sneakers, that's kind of retarded. But what I'm saying is that if you can go out and get something really nice and you can get it funded at a relatively low interest rate, then you can, like, let's say you go out and you buy a nice car, right? You buy a nice car. And you get it financed at a relatively low interest rate. Okay. You can like it or you can not like it, but it's a fact that people are going to judge you by the car you pull up in. The girl is going to judge you by the car you pull up in. Do you have confidence? Do you have confidence? If you don't have anything nice, you're saying, I don't have confidence in the future. I've got to save because winter is coming and I can't make any more money and everything could fall apart. And you are radiating and broadcasting. Here I'm sounding like Mr. Consumer, right? But you are radiating and you are broadcasting a fear of the future. Have confidence in my minivan. Well, the minivan is when you already have kids, right? No, listen. When you pull up, you got nice clothes on. You've got a nice watch, nice shoes. Now, you know, do this in a nice section of town and all of that. But you're saying, yeah, I've got excess resources because I am an excess resource. I can spend some money on some nice stuff because I could just make more money next year. I don't need to. I'm not like Gollum with the ring, you know. I have confidence in the future. I'm going to be a pretty relaxed and enjoyable person to go through life in because I'm not constantly feeling that Yetis are going to steal my money. So yeah, honestly, and so like let's do this, right? Everybody knows the car and the girl, right? You get a nice car, and a girl is going to be like, "Ooh, that's nice." Why? Obviously, because it's a status symbol, and because it shows that you have excess resources, and it shows that you have confidence in yourself. That you have confidence. Let's say you sign a car loan for 5 years or whatever, and maybe it's $600 a month or $700 a month or $800 a month or whatever. You sign that car loan. What are you saying to the woman? Yeah, I'm confident I'm going to be making money in 5 years or 6 years. You sign a 15 or 20 or 25 year mortgage. You're saying, yeah, I have confidence I'm going to be making money in 20 years. I'm not a flash in the pan. I'm not a coming and going thing. I have sustainable resources. You're saying when you buy something on credit, you're saying to the woman, I know I'm going to be making money in the future. I know that. So she looks at you and she says, well, geez, if he's got confidence he's going to be making money in the future, I guess I do too. You understand? Conspicuous consumption for men is like youth for women. Like, understand this. You know, like how when you're a man, you generally want to date a woman who's in her early 20s, right? Why? Because she's got fertility ahead of her. She's got fertility ahead of her for a long time. For a long time. You've got some runway. You've got some latitude. You've got some leeway. You've got some time. So she's saying, I have fertility for the next 20 years, give or take, right? Now, when you buy stuff on credit, you're saying, I have full confidence I'll be making resources in 5, 10, 15, 20 years. So she's got runway. She's going to have your baby. She's going to tie herself to your economic fortunes. And you're saying to her, by buying something on credit, and this is why this is why men think of women undressed and women think of men in really nice suits. And this is why the car gets the girl. Because you're telling her, join your hips and fortune and fame and future with me, and we'll be fine. We'll be fine. So there's a reason. There's a reason for that. How did you stop being paranoid about money, Steph? Well, it was just exposure therapy. I just had to grit my teeth and spend it. I just had to grit my teeth and spend it, right? So, because here's the funny thing, right? Here's the funny thing. A lot of money you think is consumption is actually investment. This is my complete nonsense advice. Do whatever you want. I'm not telling you what to buy or not buy, spend or not spend. I'm just telling you my particular thoughts on this subject. So you think that if you buy a nice car that, you know, the only thing that you should buy and the only thing that you should ever put on credit is things that are investments and not, they're assets, not liabilities. Because a car depreciates in value. But, and that's like, I'm sorry, that's just not how it is. That's just not how it is. Okay. Let me ask you this. We'll make this a, I didn't need a car. I was 9 out of 10. Yeah, but you can be as handsome as you want and you'll get dates. But you need a car to show future fertility. Now, tell me this. Riddle me this, Batman. Let's say, gosh, I'm trying to think how much my car was back in the day. But it probably would be, and remember, I did get a car allowance, so it wasn't so bad. But my first car was probably $50,000 in like today's money or whatever, right? Maybe a little more. I can't remember exactly. I don't know. But let's say it's $50,000, right? So not a supercar, but, you know, not a beater. Okay, so how does a $50,000 car make you money? How does a $50,000 car make you money? That is cash territory. Well, it sure wasn't cash territory for me back in the day, but all right. Yeah, working harder, I'm sure. Yeah, maybe. More efficient, yeah. Yeah, gets wife gets you more money. That's right. Yeah, it shows you're successful, responsible with money. Absolutely. Well, so there's a couple of ways that an expensive car can help you make money. Number one, in particular, Volvo is fantastic for safety, right? I think Lexus is pretty good as well. So if you get into some kind of accident, it's going to be safer for you in general, right? Because they're built sort of like boxes. Maybe it's got their safety features like beeps and burps all around you and so on. Maybe it's got the automatic braking and all of that. So you maybe you save $10,000 by getting a cheaper car, but then if you end up in an accident, which injuries could have been prevented with a better car, you end up out of work for 6 months. Well, that 10 grand doesn't look so good now, does it? So that's one thing, right? Hey, Steph, I know this is a philosophy show, but I love when you talk about making money in finances so much. So here's some money. Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. Listen, if you guys, I am going to really blow your minds about money. I'm really going to blow your minds about money. So you get a nice car, you get more confident. Now, maybe you feel a little worried about your ability to pay for it and so on, but you just deal with that. And I'll have worst case scenario, you run out of money, you just give the car back. I mean, come on, it's not like they're going to hang you or anything, right? So you get confidence, and if you show up for a job interview in a nice car, that means something, right? But here's the thing. With the nice car, you'll probably get the more attractive woman. At least you may get a date with her to some degree because of the car. But you're going to get a more attractive woman. Younger and prettier, because she's showing you her good future genetically and reproductively, and you're showing her your good future from a resource provision standpoint. You are confident. You know how to make money. It's not a flash in the pan. You didn't just randomly come across $10,000 or $50,000 or $100,000 in a body bag in a sewage system, right? You know how to make money. You're confident you can do it in the future. You've got that. So you get a more attractive girlfriend, fiance, wife. Now, you know this, right? You know this. I remember a guy I worked with many years ago sent me a picture, and it says, how can you tell a millionaire from behind? How can you tell a millionaire from behind? And what it was a picture of a chunky guy on a beach wearing his banana hammock Speedos, and he was holding the hands of some, you know, beautiful, curvy young wife, right? So you get a nice car, you upgrade your car, you upgrade your dating life, you get a more attractive wife, and people judge you by your wife. They judge your value by your wife. Why? Because everybody knows it's your daddy's rich and your mama's good looking. So they look at your confidence. You go into a corporate party with an attractive, poised, beautiful, confident wife. What do people think of you? What do people think of you? Damn, son. They're impressed, right? They're impressed. They envy you, right? She's hot. She's great. You got to have something going on, right? You got it together. You got the quality female. Now, that is a display of personal quality, whether you like it or not. Again, we can get all kinds of, quality. But if you have a work function, a work party, you invite people from your work to your house, right? If you have a crapped down, dilapidated house with yellow on the walls because the last three generations were smokers, and you got a half broken down well, and you got a car up on blocks in the front yard. What does your boss think of you when he comes over to your house for a barbecue? Right? Whereas if you have a nice place, you put some time in it, you put some money into it, you've upgraded it, you bought something really nice. What does that say? That says that you are not afraid of going broke. You're not afraid that you won't be able to make money. Now, if a woman's going to have three babies with you, does she want you to be confident you can make money in the future? Of course. Does your boss doesn't want you self-sabotaging because you think that you're limited in your ability to make money. So you get nice stuff, you're saying, and this is why, you see, interest is important. I mean, I'm sorry to be a jerk because of the people who are like, well, I got to save until I've got cash under the mattress. It's like, no, don't be stingy with your future. Don't radiate that kind of insecurity. Yeah, go buy something on credit, in my opinion, right? Because it shows confidence in the future. Plus, if you save 3 years to get a nice car, when you could have got the nice car for literally $1,000 more in interest, you've got 3 years without a nice car. What if you get hit by a bus? Hopefully not in the nice car, right? I don't know. It's just... Here's the thing. Most people... Most people have no idea how to judge you. They have no idea how to judge you, right? How do they judge you? How do they judge you? How they don't have any objective, moral, philosophical, virtuous standard. How are they going to judge you? Yeah, they're going to judge you by two things: how you judge yourself and how those around you judge you. You got a nice car. You got a beautiful wife. What do they think of you? Maybe I should put some new rims on the Toyota. Sounds like you're really getting to the basis of this conversation, my friends. Well, he has value. Because if a beautiful... Look, come on. We've all seen this movie a bazillion times. Like, it's the movie with Tom Cruise. And Tom Cruise has to establish that he's a really cool guy right at the beginning of the movie. Tom Cruise has to establish... Oh, he's a cool... You got to envy him. You got to want to be like him. You got to have that bizarre Rage Against the Breast thing that he's got going on. So Tom Cruise or anyone has to establish that he's super cool at the beginning of the movie. What does he do? What does he do? Come on, answer me. Answer me. Yeah, well, it gets flashy. How do you establish that a man is of high value in your average movie? What kind of place does he live in? What kind of woman is in his life? What kind of technology? I remember seeing some movie with Tom Cruise where this is back in the day. Like, he gets up, he hits a remote control, and a TV... giant TV comes up from the ground, right? And then what does he do? He's got his shirt off and he goes out in these cool shorts and his abs, and he leans over the balcony and looks across this incredible view of the ocean or the downtown, and he's in this unbelievable place, and he's got the coolest sunglasses known to man, the most expensive sunglasses known to man. Then he puts on a really expensive watch. Then he goes back to his bedroom and you see this gorgeous woman in his bed. And then he goes for a run, right? And he's just incredibly cool. And he's not sitting there, oh my God, I got a phone call from my boss. Right? And he's relaxed and he's in control of his environment. That's exactly how you make guys high status. And you've seen it a million times. Lamborghini. What was there, the movie with Denzel Washington where he played an airline pilot who was an addict? And at the beginning, he's got this, I still remember how incredibly wild this woman's figure was. He's got this woman in his, and this is why you're interested in him. Flight, yeah, he's an alcoholic, right? Not a great movie, but that's how, and it works. It absolutely works every single time, because you don't like, and these are like normie movies and so on, right? But how do they... I've been up since the crack of dawn, as he stares at the young hot woman's eyes. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Exactly how people are established to be, men are established to be of high status, right? So, everything around him is expensive. The woman is beautiful. He exercises, obviously. Don't you have this? Do you have this thing? I don't know if this is just me. Do you have this thing where every guy who's in a movie takes off his shirt and you're like, hey, does he have abs? Does he have, how's his muffin top? Does he have abs? Right? Abs is the other status symbol, right? Because now, why do women like abs? I mean, no particular reason. But I mean, why do the women find abs sexy? And a lot of women do, right? Why do women find abs sexy? What do abs signal to the woman? Yeah, diligence for sure, but you know, it's so abs signal to the woman. Somebody says, this is profound. I live my public life like a man who is worth $100,000. I could easily live my public life like a man who's worth $500,000. I'm just lazy. I would say that it's not laziness. Okay, abs show deferral of gratification. Abs show deferral of gratification. I won't eat. Right. I remember being at Porkfest many years ago, sitting next to Adam Kokesh, and I was kind of, I hadn't eaten all day, and there was a bag of chips, and he's a workout guy, he's got abs, right? And I offered him some chips. He's like, oh no, like I saw that, I'm like, absolutely not, right? Because he's, you know, he's, but I mean, and Adam Kokesh knows the image thing, right? He's got that half redneck beard, he's got the big giant Doberman dogs, he's got the abs, he's got like the whole thing, right? This is an old, I mean, it was a provocative thing, as of course Milo Yiannopoulos has a lot of provocative things, but you know, his t-shirt, Stop Being Poor. I'm really going back into the old days now. Doug Casey used to berate libertarians for not making any money. Like, well, what can you do if you're broke? You can't fund anything, you can't grow anything, you can't invest in anything. Go make some money. Right? So abs, and this is true with slenderness to a woman, it shows deferral of gratification. Deferral of gratification is essential for women. Because if you can't defer gratification as a man, you can't maintain resources through the winter, right? In the same way that a woman who has a flat stomach and glutes, right, like the sort of flat stomach and like the European, the British stomach and the European butt, right? And the Brazilian butt, right? So what you want, of course, is a woman who can defer gratification, who understands the value, right? Because for a woman, so do you know the story of Hit Me With a Why? Hit Me With a Why if you know the story of Jennifer Aniston, right? Do you know the story of Jennifer Aniston and before she became famous? Okay, so Jennifer Aniston is Greek, and she was about 15 to 20 pounds heavier than she was in the show Friends. And then she lost the weight and made $1 billion and had a career, right? Right. You know the mantra for people who are trying to lose weight, women in particular, once on the lips, forever on the hips. Why do we like a woman who's slender? Because because she's willing to trade in transitory dopamine for sugar and fat for the long-term quality of life and wealth and a good man. No, well, good childbearing qualities, it means that she knows. She knows that being slender is better than having a fucking donut. Right? There's another thing that women say when they're tempted by food. They say, nothing tastes as good as thin feels. Nothing tastes as good as thin feels. With, oh, Timothy, what, Remington Steele guy? I can't remember his name. He played James Bond. Not Timothy Dutton, the guy who played Bond after him. Pierce Brosnan. Okay, thank you. Oh, just to say. So Pierce Brosnan, other than Pierce Brosnan, who's got a wife who's heavy, but she's not totally fat, but she's heavy, right? Okay, so other than Pierce Brosnan, who is a rich, reasonably tall, it don't have to be perfect looking. I mean, there you've got Danny DeVito and Rhea Perlman or whatever, right? But tell me about a really attractive guy a rich guy with a fat wife. No, not Bill Clinton. Hillary's not fat. Now, Pierce Brosnan, of course, I think he's a staunch Catholic. And he also, his wife had health issues and so on. So, and of course, Pierce Brosnan's wife was slender and beautiful when he first met her. And she's still quite attractive, but she's a couple of popsicle sticks more than a twig. It doesn't happen, right? It doesn't happen. So, you can't, of course you can't think of one, right? Of course you can't think of one. Because that's the deal. Yeah, Pierce loves his wife. And look, I mean, the fact that she's had some health issues and gained weight, again, I'm not trying to diss on Pierce Brosnan's wife. I'm just saying that the basic equation is. I mean, it's the old exchange a reporter had with Melania Trump. He said, would you be into Trump if he wasn't rich? And she said, would he be into me if I wasn't beautiful? Have you ever seen a basement dweller with a 10 out of 10 wife? Everybody knows this. Like, how do you know the guy who just got rich on crypto because he's got a neck beard, a dad bod, and he's on a yacht with a hot girl, right? So, like, so for women, it's like, okay, you can marry a millionaire or you can have that piece of cheesecake. Like, I'm not kidding about this stuff. Now, for men, it's like, okay, you can save $1,000 or you can get a beautiful wife. I know this sounds ridiculous. I'm fully aware of that. This is the world that we live in. If we were on Mars, we'd have Martian gravity. If we lived in another dimension, we'd have other Moors. This is the world that we live in. You say, ah, well, you know, I don't want to spend an extra $100 a month on a car. I don't want to spend an extra $200. I can just get this old beater. It's totally, totally effective. And I've talked about this before. Do you remember my friend from high school? What did he carry his books around in? What did he carry his binders and his pens around in? That's right. Plastic bag. A plastic bag. He was Scottish. And I learned this because I was broke as hell. When I was a teenager, I worked 3 jobs and had roommates to pay my bills. I was broke at times. Now, even I would go out and spend $14 on an Adidas bag. And I remember my friend saying, it's so ridiculous that you would spend $14 on an Adidas bag. Now, this is back when I was making, one of the first jobs I got was in a convenience store. I was making $2.45 an hour, right? $2.45 an hour. So let's just cheat a little here. $14 divided by $2.45 an hour. So with tax, that was like 6 hours of work, right? That was like 6 hours of work to buy a stupid Adidas bag, right? Now, why did I buy an Adidas bag? Yes, you say you knew a guy who took his books to school in a grocery store bag. And he's like, the grocery store bag works just as well, and it's free. You're absolutely correct, except nothing is free. People think you can beat the system like this. There's something for free. There's absolutely something for free. No, there's not. He saved $14 and never got married. Because when you're walking around school with your books in a fucking grocery bag, what do the girls think when they look at you? Yeah, women will not allow their men to go around looking like garbage either. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Because, right? Well, what do women... I get weird or loser, I get that. But what do women think when they look at you carrying your books around? Do they say, well, that's totally sensible because those bags are free. He's really good with money. They think that they're going to spend the rest of their life begging their husband to buy anything. That he's going to stand over them and make sure that they clip coupons. And he's going to duct tape broken windows rather than get them replaced. That he has no faith that he's going to be able to get resources. They looked at me, I've got an Adidas bag. Okay, well, at least I know I'm going to be able to make some money in the future. At least I'm willing to spend my 6 hours of work to get an Adidas bag. I understand the social mores. I understand the basic games. I don't want to be subject to this materialistic crap. I want to be an iconoclast. I want to be independent. But here's the funny thing, guys. This is to the men, right? This is to the men. The women already know this, right? So You say you don't want to be part of these cliches. You want to bust out of it. You want someone to just appreciate you for who you are, man. I don't want to do all this signaling. I don't have to do all this materialism. I don't want this consumerism. I just want people, just want someone to love me for who I am. And it's like, come on, man. A young woman with a great ass walks down the street. Are you just into her for her personality? No, she's got her mating display. And by God, you need your mating display. For God's sakes, man, put on a display. Because you know exactly how hypocritical this is. Man to man, you know exactly how hypocritical this is because you respond to the female mating display. You're into the female mating display. Women are into the male mating display. Right? This is part of the whole I'm going to do this thing about how to date, right? So spend some money. You can't take it with you. Spend some money. Make yourself look good. Get some nice clothes. Get a nice car. Do up your place. Get some decent fucking furniture. Oh, I found this furniture by the side of the road. I've saved all this money. No, you haven't. Nothing is for free. You're just paying for it in ways you don't see. Manuel, you're constantly trying to make jokes. Try and follow the conversation too, right? I mean, a friend of mine was an architect and also Scottish. It's like there's a pattern here. A friend of mine was an architect and he ended up getting this house and he rented out the two top floors and he and his wife lived in the basement. The basement. Oh my God. He lived in the basement. And he was like, but I'm saving so much money. I'm like, not when you get divorced, you're not. You're putting your wife in a basement, for God's sakes. It's like, but the house is basically free. I was like, nothing is free. God, even 30 years ago, I was yelling at people about this. Even though I've had my issues with spending money and all of that. I get that. Nice and cool down there. That's true, and nothing spells romance like the sound of rats scampering along the pipework. No, and it's like, you know, this house is just paying for itself. And I was like, but you're living in the basement. And it was not a finished basement either. It's like, oh my God. It's like you're living in the bowels of that ship from Alien. Some complaints of an ex-girlfriend are starting to make sense. Oh, this is gold, baby. The Scots can be tight bastards, but it's not a good trait. No, listen, it's totally fine if you're in Scotland in the fucking 5th century AD. I get that. You know, if you're in Scotland and you've got a long-ass winter and the sea could get frozen over or whatever and you can't get it, yeah, absolutely, be as cheap as you want. But you're not there anymore. If somebody says, yeah, I'm starting to realize the extra money gave me safety, but I had way worse life because I had a shit place and the safety made me lazier. Yeah. 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 So here's the thing. I want you to imagine this, right? Imagine you're standing on a frozen lake. You and your friend, right? You're standing on a frozen lake. And your friend grabs your wallet and throws it as hard as he can, right? How far will you go to get your wallet? No, you're already standing on the ice, right? So that's why I said you're already in the middle, right? How far will you go to get your wallet? Let's say he throws your wallet. He's got a great arm, and he throws your wallet 100 yards, right? How far will you go to get your wallet? You'll go to your wallet. You'll go to get it. Of course you will, right? You'll get it. You'll get your wallet. Now, if he throws your wallet 50 yards, how far will you go? You'll go 50 yards. Let's say he just drops it at your feet. You'll bend. So you'll go to where your wallet is, right? You get the analogy here. You'll go to where your wallet is. If you raise your spending, you'll make more money. But people say, well, I can't spend any more because I don't have any more money. But listen, you understand, you get married, you can usually afford the wedding, right? You can afford the honeymoon, and then you can afford some place, and then you have kids, and you find some way to afford kids. Trust that you have the instincts to make the money you need. Spend some money, for God's sakes, people. Spend. You can't take it with you, and you think you're net lossing. You're not, if you spend it in the right way. I'm not saying buy a bunch of hammers and drop them to the bottom of the ocean. But if you can afford it, and even if you feel like you can't fully afford it, spend some money to raise your status. Spend some money to be attractive to women. Otherwise, your bloodline ends, despite the fact that you're the second or third wealthiest generation in the history of the planet. Your entire fucking bloodline ends because you want to see some numbers online. You want to see some numbers in your bank account online. And you feel better. Oh, good. I feel better. I've got money. But what's money without a wife? What's money without a husband? What's money without family? What's money without spending money so that people can have a good time at your house? I mean, I'm telling you this, man. When I have parties, I go absolutely all out. And I don't do that alone, let me tell you that. Absolutely all out. I'm living too far under my means. Right. See, Jared, here's the thing. You think you have means and you're just below them. I'm saying that means move with you. Of course you should be tipping me half your life savings for this. Of course you should be. This is absolute gold. This is as liberating as I could possibly give you liberation. Now, you have fear about spending. Because you have fear of the future. And fear of the future is the least attractive thing for women to see. Right? If you are evincing or you are manifesting a fear of the future with hyper-saving, you are saying to women, I really want you to come and tie yourself to me in a hugely vulnerable financial way for the next 25 years. But I'm too frightened to buy a nice couch. John says, my brother constantly tortures my ass over not owning a couch. When the ladies come over, they get a first-class virtual golfing experience in a creepy open room that looks a lot like a Dexter killing room. This might not be an optimal breeding strategy. Well, here's the thing. It might be an optimal mating strategy for bunny-boiling psychos. It also might be, like, if you're an attractive enough guy, then you'll get women to come over and sleep with you, but they won't commit to you. I mean, a guy I was very close friends with, we're still in touch now, but I was close friends with him when we were students. And he ended up living in a school bus, an abandoned school bus. And he would have his food at the cafeteria and he would shower at the gym. And he lived in an abandoned school bus. And he was like, look at all the money I'm saving. I said, how's your dating life? He's like, well, I'm dating this woman. She's actually a school teacher. She's really, really nice. But I just can't get her to commit. He literally said, I just can't get her to commit. I laughed at him. Like, honestly, I don't know what to say to people like that. You can't get her to commit to what? Living in an abandoned school bus in the woods? Oh, no, she won't commit to living below the rent of your average New York hobo. Oh, somebody says that. Oh, yeah, Jared, I lived in a $500 camper off the side of the mountain. And hey, that's fine. That's fine. You know, if you're in an emergency, I get all of that. I get that. But for God's sakes, get out of it and go and spend some money so that you can get a girlfriend, a wife, married, kids. Came home one day and the sink was a block of ice. Probably easier to chip apart your unused balls at that point, though, because I can't imagine too many women. Okay, like, have you ever... Okay, hit me with a why. Have you ever... We'll go a little over tonight, right? So hit me with a why. Have you ever, ever, ever gone over to a girl's place and it's messy? Yeah? Okay. So if you've, yes. Okay, so if you've gone over to a girl's place in some romantic capacity, right, and her place is messy, do you want to marry her? What do you mean, no? It's quality of character, man. It shouldn't just be about her environment and her space, man. Oh, yes, messy, red flag. I did marry her. Oh, that's not good. That's not good. Right. Have you ever dated anyone who doesn't take good care of her teeth? A little bit of furry mouth there, a little bit of halitosis. No. Well, why not, man? It's just, you got to, it's a personality, it's a character, man. You can't kiss that. You can't, right? No, absolutely not. Ever date a woman and, I don't know how graphic to get here. Ever date a woman and let's just say at one time or another you feel those boar's head bristles on her leg because she just won't shave her legs, and it's basically like getting slowly sandblasted away like they're trying to uncover the lost tomb of Tutankhamun. Yeah, a woman who won't take care of her health. Yeah, I know. The woman who wouldn't take care of her diabetes. I know. Right. A girl that was interested in me had bad breath, a turnoff that I can remember. So why don't you want to date a woman with bad breath? Because you can fix the bad breath, right? You just go to the dentist and you get your teeth cleaned and you use your mouthwash. The reason you don't want to date a woman with bad breath is because she's surrounded by people who aren't telling her about her bad breath, which means her family is dysfunctional, her friends are dysfunctional, she's in a whole messy environment. Well, it's also probably prior sexual abuse or other major issues. Jared, could you just tell the people who are waiting that I'll be another few minutes? Because I think this is really, really important. If you can, they can just be patient. So, yeah, massive. So it's a way, it's like obesity a lot of times for women. Obesity is a way of saying, I need to stay away from the dating arena because I was sexually traumatized as a child. Right. So I haven't seen, Chris says, I have no interest in a woman who doesn't take care of herself. Exactly. Absolutely. You want a woman who's young, probably relatively slender, nice hair, takes care of her skin. The things that she can control, that's, you know, bone structure and all, nose size, you can't really control that, I guess, unless you want to go under the knife, which I find kind of weird. But you want a woman who takes care of herself, right? So you want a woman who takes care of herself. She wants a man who spends money. She wants a man who spends money. And if you don't spend money, you are driving women away. Because you have no faith in the future, you're a hoarder, she's going to have to fight with you to get you to spend any money on anything. She's going to say, we need new drapes, and you'd be like, why? Why would we need new drapes? We've got old pants we can cut up and hang down. Oh, it's horrible. Because women want to show off, right? A friend of mine said this many, many years ago. A woman's home is her vagina, a man's job is his penis. Women want to show off. They want to show off their man. You want to show her off. They want to show off their home. They want to show off their abode. They want to show off the quality. They want to show up in a nice car. They want to show off. Oh, well, you know, but I don't want a car. Of course you do. Everybody does. It's just a fact of life. And fighting facts of life, fighting reality is not what philosophy is all about. I get, like, there's a mean, right? Like, you don't want to go out and make yourself bankrupt for things you can't possibly afford, right? So you get, there's an Aristotelian mean here. You don't want to be stingy, and you don't want to be a wild spendthrift who goes bankrupt. Because that's a form of fraud, right? To see, because then, let's say you buy a $1 million house you can't possibly afford, and you fight everything to stay in there, and some woman comes over, and you know that you're about to be foreclosed on or whatever, right? So that's fraud, because you can't sustain it, right? Somebody says, hold on a sec, what's the difference between showing off and vanity? Boy, you are a hair splitter. What's the difference between showing off and vanity? Vanity is when you're doing it just for your own ego. Showing off is, okay, look, let me ask you this. Let's just make it real personal here, right? So a couple of weeks ago, if you're around or you've seen the video, when I ripped my shirt off kind of half for a joke, right? I mean, I've got some muscles, right? Not massive muscles, but I've got some muscles, right? Now, I'm not particularly vain about it. Why do I have muscles? I don't have muscles because I want people to think, oh my gosh, I'm so, Steph's so muscular, that's so hot. I have muscles because it's important for weight loss, it's important for bone density, I'm an older father, so I need to stay healthy for my daughter, and so all of these kinds of stuff, right? Now, does that mean that I find it the worst thing in the world? Like, I'm not going to be like Rollo Tomasi and like flex of the camera and stuff like that or whatever, the golden one or whatever his name is, right? But so I do these things because they're healthy and they're good. And I like the feeling. Like, I'm going to be 57 in a couple of months, right? So I'll go to social gatherings with other people my age, right? I go to social gatherings to other people my age. How do most men in their mid to late 50s look? How do they look? Well, they're just not particularly healthy, right? You know, they're kind of chunky, they're kind of doughy armed, and so on, right? Mango and popsicle sticks, right? I'm a pear. And there's some exceptions, of course, right? And of course, I have younger friends, and I like the feeling. I don't like the feeling of like, oh, I'm fitter than someone else. I like the feeling of just walking around and being sort of fit and healthy and all of that, right? I just like that. I also like the fact that, you know, belly fat in particular is bad for men, and I'm probably going to last a little. I don't want to last longer than people. I just want to last long, right? Yeah, thin limbs, big gut, right? And some of the guys who are skinny have that skinny fat thing. I judge by the calves. Boy, we're really getting deep here, right? No, I judge by the calves. If a guy has no calf, like no calf muscles, then I don't view his. I don't know. Can I get my calves up here? Oh, yeah. Okay. So, yeah. Yeah, not bad, right? So, if a guy's got no calves, I just assume that he's got the skinny fat thing going on. I am wearing pants, just shorts. So, yeah, I think it's important to have some health, but I don't do it just so I can show off, and I'm not posting endless vanity pictures on Instagram or anything like that. So, but yeah, please, my friends, put on a display, go out there and splash a little and show your confidence. You'll feel different. It's not about just like faking things. You literally will feel better. Right? You will feel better. You'll feel more confident. Because you're putting on a display of excess. You're putting on a display of I can afford kids. You're putting on a display of you can have nice things. Women like nice things. People who watch philosophy shows should be sexy. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. No, women, look, you like nice tech. I like nice tech. Women like nice things. They like incomprehensible numbers of towels, one for every hair on your body. They like these things called, what do they call this? The shit that goes around the ceilings? Edging, molding. Yeah, they like molding, right? They like molding. They like nice crowning. They like... They, you know, okay, if you're a bachelor, when was the last time you got your carpets cleaned? Boy, that sounds like an analogy, doesn't it? Show us my feet. I think I did show my feet. I have great feet, by the way. I really like my feet. I think I showed the feet, right? Can we see the back of your head? Sure. Let's see here. Feet. Let's go back a little here. Those are some nice feet. Look at that. Nice feet. Those are the legs, right? So, yeah, this is, I've got great legs. You know, I've never had six pack, but I have great legs. The lotion is out. Yeah, there we go. It's amazing how much money women can make selling feet pics and so on, right? So, you'll feel better. You'll feel different. When I would go and pick up a girl when I was in my dating years. I'd go and pick up a girl in a nice, expensive red Volvo. Sorry, man. That's just nice stuff, and good luck competing with that, right? Good luck competing with that. So you'll just feel different. You'll just feel different. You know, if you've got a place, do something nice with it. You know, women like to repaint stuff. Women like soaps that you're not allowed to touch. Like, women like I have no idea why you need this many plates. You know, when I was a bachelor, I had one cutting board that I ate off and then a plate that I had from my camping days. And, you know, now that I'm married, I have shelves full of incomprehensible things. There's shit in the drawer in my house. I have no idea what it does. It could be used to remove the kidneys from Klingons. I have no idea what this does. And there's things I don't know where they go. I've lived here forever. I have no idea where some stuff goes. I emptied the dishwasher, 90% of the stuff, absolutely, right? I don't know why. Like, we're never going to actually feed a Roman legion. I don't know why we need this much cutlery. I don't. I have no idea. I have no idea why we need five different kinds of ladles. I have no idea whatsoever. I don't know what half the stuff in the freezer is. I don't know. There are cupboards that have things in them, I genuinely don't know what they are. Like, you could quiz me, you could put a gun to my... I would not be able to tell you what they are. Throw pillows. Oh, man, don't even get me started. I need a forklift to get to bed. That's insane. It's like she's Richard Dreyfuss in Close Encounters of the Third Kind trying to make Devil Mountain out of these things, right? And it's beautiful. It's wonderful. I love it. You know, when I clean the windows... Van Morrison style, and I clean the windows, my wife, with her laser vision, can see things and smudges that I didn't know existed. What the heck is a throw pillar? Well, you buy a nice car, you start spending some money, you'll know what a throw pillow is. It's this incredible nesting thing that women go through. Yeah, there's pillows, they're bolsters and decorative pillows, you put them on your bed to make it nice looking during the day, and then you take them off at night so you can go to bed. You don't throw it on the floor? James, you don't throw it on the floor? Are you crazy? I'm going to get in trouble for even reading that. Absolutely not. You do not throw them on the floor. Why do you think spending money helps you make more money? Oh, I'm sorry, Joe, if you came late, but you'll just have to listen back to that again. I won't do through all of that, right? And, if you're a bachelor, when was the last time you had your furniture steam cleaned? Right? When you're if you're a bachelor, how much time a week do you spend ironing your clothes? You don't think women notice this stuff? Can you steam clean leather? I don't know. Zero. Yeah. So if you're a bachelor, you're like, hey man, I've got jeans. I don't need to iron them. I don't need any of this stuff, right? No, women notice this stuff. E-ironing? I'm telling you, I've ironed shirts for dates. Yeah, for sure. Because, you know, it looks good, right? Women notice nice shoes on men. Women notice if you do your own haircuts. Women notice how close your shave is. Women notice all these little details because they're scanning for attention to detail. Attention to detail means that you'll be able to take care of toddlers, right? So, yeah, if you're a haircut can be huge. Buy nice shoes. Buy nice pants. Well, they're not as comfortable. You know what's not comfortable? Dying alone, being eaten by your dogs. Okay, so just spend some money, buy some nice stuff. Don't be like me and have glasses with like one thing missing. Have nice glasses. If your glasses are old and scratched, get some new glasses. For God's sakes, trim your nose, whiten your teeth. Go and get use moisturizer. For God's sakes, you can get moisturizer with sunscreen on it. Right? Use moisturizer so that your sun doesn't age. Look at my face. I'm telling you, look at my face. Look at it. Look at my face. I'm almost 57 years old and I barely have a wrinkle. I'm 57 years old. I barely have a wrinkle. When I look better now than I did 15 years ago when I was heavier. Use sunscreen. Get a big hat. Like, you can get a Tilly hat. Tilly, TILLEY.com. No, right? Get a Tilly hat. Get a big brim. Keep the sun off your face. It makes you look younger. And, you know, floss or use a water pick. Like, make sure that your teeth, like, stretch, exercise, enjoy your body, feel strong. Be attractive. Be someone that someone else will be overjoyed to spend the next 40 or 50 years with. Use natural sunscreens like coconut oil. Recent news about skin cancers and benzene. Okay, well, I mean, just get your all natural. Yeah, I use all natural sunscreens, but yeah. Somebody says, I grew into money gradually. I was poor and the only things going for me were looks, talent, and my class background. It could have seemed risky from a woman's perspective to get involved with me as I had only potential for things in my early 20s. My wife, then girlfriend, inspired me to work hard and always stood by my side even when I wanted to give up. If it wasn't for her, I'd be living like a bum still. Oh, yeah. From where I started to where I am has a lot to do with my wife. Because, you know, when you have a wife, you have a wife, you have a job, she's going to help you, she's going to give you advice, she's going to be a high status symbol for you, you're just going to, people are going to judge you by your wife. They're going to judge you by your girlfriend. We all know this. We all know this. You see some, you're at some party and some guy comes in and he's got a really gorgeous girlfriend. You're like, damn. And you feel that envy and that jealousy and so on. It's because he's spending resources. It's because he's willing to spend money on her. Don't be cheap. Don't be cheap. It doesn't work. It doesn't pay off. And you end up being buried with your bullshit gold at the end of it all. So what? Oh, I can buy something. But the thing is, if you're cheap, you don't buy it. You don't enjoy it. Money's there to be used. Oh, I'm going to save my money for your kids. How do you know that giving money to your kids is going to be bad or good? Right? It might be terrible for you to give money to your kids. The kids who hang around waiting for inheritance can be some of the weirdest, most corrupt people in the world. No, please, God. I mean, I know with my studio, like, it's not exactly like I've spent a massive amount of money on my studio, but I don't need to because it's just, we're just talking. That's all. We're just talking. That's all we're doing. There's no graphics, no flashy blah, 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 right? So, but I will spend money on the show. I will spend money on, I just spent thousands and thousands of dollars on AI. I will spend money on or microphone quality, audio quality, video. God, Lord. Yeah, the stepmother changes his will and steals it, right, right. I still sometimes struggle with this cheap mindset as an adult. I was bullied into looking for the cheapest option or discounts as a kid. I hated it. It was exhausting. Now I spend money on quality things and never want cheap out again. But I still get that urge from time to time when buying food. Buy cheaper, almost always regret it because food is usually terrible. Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, I still get fall prey to this. I needed a tablet for recording and walking around and I bought a secondhand one and the battery life is crap. So yeah, it was just a bad idea. But yeah, spend on gym, spend on exercise equipment, spend on oral hygiene, spend on deodorant, spend on soap. God, get some nice soap. Don't use this crap that, you know, sands you down. Go to a nice soap store and pick up some nice quality soap. I happen to be partial to the charcoal stuff, but get some nice soap. Get some moisturizer for your body so you're not dry and itchy and or whatever it is, right? Like, just get your blood work done, you know, get whatever, right? Just... I'm not a big one for antiperspirant because it feels cloggy, but you know, get some nice deodorant and all of that. And I just, yeah, be nice, be appealing, be attractive, look, have quality, look quality, be quality. And it just makes, you know, this, the neck beard thing is such a cliche because the neck beard is like, you can't even be bothered to trim your beard. Like when I have a beard, I'll trim this bottom bit so it doesn't, right? This mindset is how I justify spending dollars on nails. Yeah, that, for women, that can absolutely work. Somebody says, I'm going to a personal trainer, approximately $800 a month, but absolutely worth it. Discovering muscles I never had, feeling better, clothes fit better, getting compliments at work, etc. Yeah. Yeah, if I was just talking to a good friend of mine, I said, look, if you want to lose weight, just spend the money and get the food delivered so you don't have to think about it. You're not tempted. You can empty your house out from food and crap snacks and just get the food delivered. It's like, maybe that's going to cost you quite a bit of money every month. But maybe you you get 5 years longer on the planet, right? Yeah, somebody says, I spent money on my laptop for my job. Now, 15 years later, it's only just beginning to flag and needing to be replaced. I bought the best I could at the time and it lasted. Yeah, the bitterness of poor quality remains long after the sweetness of low price is forgotten, right? And that's true, most true for dating, right? If you are quality, you can demand quality. If you are quality, you can demand quality. You know, like if you're willing to spend a lot of money at a restaurant, you can demand the best food, right? So if you are broadcasting quality, then for God's sakes, what comes along with that is expecting quality, right? And yeah, the computer that I am using for these shows, I got tired of things being a little slow, a little stuttery. I also got tired of fan noise. So I got an i9 with an SSD drive and a video card. It used to be one-to-one. It would take 2 hours to produce a two-hour video. Now with this video card, it takes like 20 minutes to do a two-hour video and produce it. I got liquid cooling so that I don't have any fan noise that I need to take out of the audio afterwards. Like, it's just fantastic. And it was really expensive and absolutely completely and totally worth it. So yeah, just please, I'm begging you. I'm just begging you to go out and spend some money. Because here's the thing too, man, you know it's just deteriorating in your bank account through inflation anyway, right? Do you still have the Threadripper? This is a new PC. This is a new PC. I still have the Threadripper, yes. Somebody says, I'm back in the gym 3 times a week. See a friend there sometimes, working 30 minutes a day or more. Otherwise, eating keto, keeping the faith so far. Yes, fantastic. 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 Just have faith that you will be able to make it economically. Have a true... You're listening to the show, dudes. I wouldn't be saying this to the general market or the general population. You're listening to this show, man. You are in the top 1% of people. Like... this show is not for the, it used to be more for the average. Now this is for, this is an elite, highly preferential, top tier black card jazz club elite fest. And if you're listening to this and following these arguments and you are into this, into philosophy, into reasoning, you're questioning things, you're top 1%. I think 1/10 of 1%, but let's just be generously top 1%. So if you're the top 1%, man, broadcast it. Show it. Have nice stuff. And, you know, do you have nice razors? Let me ask you this. Are you using cheap-ass plastic razors that slice and dice your flesh like a shark? Do you have nice razors? Do you get nice shaving cream? Electrics? I've tried a bunch of electrics. I just never get anything as good as a blade. But do you have nice stuff for your face? Do you have machines to help take the nose hair out? Look, women are shorter than you. They're looking up to these caverns, looking for these stalagmites of things coming down. Do you have using a traditional safety razor? Love it. But it's not about whether you love it. It's about whether it's fantastic for your skin and all that. Ugh. Do you trim your eyebrows? Or do you end up with these Andy Rooney Arkansas ditch caterpillars stapled to your faces, right? Do you trim your ear hair? Do you check on the back of your neck to see if there's hairs poking out of your shirt? You know those weird hairs you get over 40, right? These are just little tips here. Just look nice. Right? Just look good. Look nice. Take care of yourself. Definitely can't get a better shave than an old school safety razor. Oh, that's good. I'm a friend of mine did safety razors. I've never, right? I came here for the beauty tips. Absolutely. You know, look great. Look great. Look great, spend some money, polish yourself up. You are a gorgeous, God-given, star stuff animated in a biped pillar of fantasticness. Why is it impossible to get this from our fathers? Often because they've been broken by the mothers, right? Yeah. Find a barber that will give you the right haircut for your face structure. Absolutely. Absolutely. Do you have bags under your eyes? Are you getting enough sleep? Are you getting enough sleep? It's very, very tough to be charismatic. Like you heard me on Wednesday night, I was kind of tired, right? It's very, very hard to be charismatic and positive if you're tired. Are you getting enough sleep? Are you taking care of yourself that way? Are you doom scrolling through social media until you pass out at 2 o'clock in the morning into restless sleep of, right? Are you engaged in a social environment? Do you have friends that you hang out with? Or are you just like Mr. Solitary Gollum under the mountain? Right? So because having a social life and social is very good for your health. It's, you know, loneliness is like, you might as well smoke. If you go and smoke a bunch of cigarettes with people, loneliness is as bad for you as smoking. So get out there and find a community. Are you doing things in the world that give you pride? Are you being generous to people? Are you helping people? I mean, look, I take donations, of course, right? But I've never charged anyone for a call-in show, and I never will. And people, like, I get emails all the time. I want to do a private call-in show. I want to pay you. No, I want it to be public because that's what helps the most people. I don't charge for the documentaries. I don't charge for the books. I want this to get out there as much as possible. Are you doing some sort of charity work, something benevolent and beneficial to the world? If you have kids in your life, like you got nephews, nieces, like maybe they're not your kids or whatever, are you taking them out? Are you taking them out? You know, if you chat with a woman and you've got a bunch of kids around, she's not going to be threatened, right? She's not going to be threatened. I mean, when I'm hanging out with my daughter, we chat with people all the time, all the time. It's great fun. And of course, you know, if I chat with some young pretty girl and my daughter's there, she's not going to be like, oh, he's putting the moves on me or whatever, right? Plus, I'm in my 50s. But if you're taking out kids, first of all, it's good. You know, parents need a break. And if you take your brother's kids, your sister's kids out for the day, it's great. I mean, it's fantastic for the kids. It's great for you. It's great for the parents. Plus, you can chat with girls and they won't get upset. And you can chat with them and they think, and at one point you can say, oh yeah, these are my brother's kids. And then what do those girls see? What do those girls see when you're out there having a good time with kids? And they're not even yours. What do they see? It's about as sexy a thing as you can possibly imagine. What do they see? A potential father. Somebody who loves kids, somebody who's great with kids, somebody who helps out. Yeah. Somebody whose kids, oh, look, kids enjoy his company. And what that means is that she can be a peaceful parent. Because if your kids like you, you can peaceful parent. Every parent who hits their kids is hitting their kids because their kids hate them or fear them or loathe them or don't like them. If you like someone, you'll listen to them. And you're generous and you're kind and you've got a community and you've got a family you get along with and you, oh, anyway. What if you're out with your loser friends, if you've got loser friends who just want to go out and drink and trash and do sports ball bullshit and stuff like that? No. What if you go to a coffee shop and you have a copy of Great Expectations and you're just reading it in a coffee shop? Any woman who recognizes that book is going to be interested. I can't even tell you the number of conversations I got into girls because I was reading some cool book. Some interesting book, some different book. How did I get over, somebody was asking, how do I get over my spending? You just, it's exposure therapy. You just make yourself spend it. Because here's the thing too. You know as well as I do, every now and then you just get hit with weird bills, right? Just weird bills, right? And you pay the bills and your life goes on. I mean, it's never like, oh my God, I'm now dying because I can't afford a slice of bread because I spent money on X, Y, and Z. You always find a way that it works out. Even if you've got to borrow a bit of money from friends or like family, like you'll find your way. You know, we got through the Ice Age when we were down to 10,000 souls. You can make it through this, for God's sakes. I once had a house repair. I'll tell you the story one day. I once had an unknown house repair that just would make your eyes bleed. And of course, I was completely horrified at the time. This is a couple of years ago. Now, I don't even remember. I say, oh, well, I would have that extra money in my bank. Oh, God, who cares? God, who cares? Who cares? You got your health. You got your love. You know? Do you think you're going to get points at the end with how much money you die with? Do you think this is the thing? Do you think that you can buy your way into heaven or you're going to get like bing, 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 all these little Mario fucking coins at the end when you die with all this money? My tax bill last year, right? More than most people make. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. Oh, no question. They're taking your money out through your urethra, right? And okay, so you pay the mill and you move on. You can brood, oh my God, this money, right? No. Oh, you know. Yeah, paid them off and you're done. Yeah, pay them off. Pay them off, move on. We're out of the money. I'm with you always. I'm with you rain or shine. Stefan, can you please read the message that I sent together with the tip? Oh, speaking of tips, come on, man. You know and I know this is a life-changing conversation. You'll never be the same after this conversation. I have just fundamentally rearranged your relationship to money. Now, if I have helped you rearrange your relationship with money, and I've helped you spend the money to get the wife, to get the kids, come on, throw a little value for value, brothers and sisters. Throw a little value for value. I've just completely opened up your mind about money. All right, so let me get that. A little tip would not be amiss. And of course, if you're listening to this later, this is going to just change your life, right? It's change your life. Absolutely change your life. All right. Somebody says, well, I guess my perfectionism that I complained about before has finally paid off. I saved up for a bigger tip instead of tipping you $1 a week. Yeah, thank you. I wanted to thank you for what you're doing. You've had an enormous positive influence on my life, especially through call-in shows and philosophical approach to relationships. P.S. Forget about what I said just earlier. This tip is actually meant to keep your shirt on. Well, I appreciate that. I appreciate that. And thank you. Look at these. You see how hard I'm working? I've got air conditioning. It's not even that hot in this studio. This is how hard I'm working to get this information across from you. I am sweating bullets here. But it's okay because I smell like a rose. Like a rose. Don't shut up and take my money. I get it. I get it. I get it. Boomer meme. He who dies with the most toys wins. That's really sad, isn't it? So yeah, honor and respect sales. Recognize that everything that is being handed to you is from the mainstream is programming. No question. And calf picks $25. Of course, I'm just going to send a baby cow, right? Heat wave in Scotland right now. Yeah, heat wave in Scotland. You can't really tell, though, because that's what the kilts are for, is for the occasional heat wave. All right, so I'm just going to wait for any last tips to dribble in. I quit nicotine, video games, broke up with my alcoholic girlfriend, have been working out 5 times a week and meeting new people. Your rant on fuck being average still inspires me. Well, I'm very glad to hear that. Thank you so much. And thank you, Dan, for that tip. I really, really appreciate that. Now, hit me with the why. If you like these kinds of topics, you want me to do more, I'm certainly happy to do more of this kind of stuff. If this is helpful to you, I'd love to do it 10 times more. Okay, good, good. I thought the kilts were when a hot sheep wanders by. LOL. That's funny. Have you heard the song The Scotsman by Hair of the Dog? I have not. I will make a note here. Let me just grab that. All right. Levering us up out of ruts and basicness. Don't cheap out on this content. Finance Friday. Let's make it a thing, at least every once in a while. Finance Friday. Yeah, I think that's a good idea. Don't think of money as a well that runs out. Honestly, don't think of money as a well that runs out. And don't at all ever, ever underestimate your ability to get money by panicking. Necessity is the mother of invention, right? So if you spend money knowing that you can make more, that you can get more, you can hustle, you can do something, especially with the AI now and so on, work from home, like, so you can do some serious hustle stuff. You can find some way to make money. So here's the thing. It's like you take your wallet, you throw it as far as you can, and then just go get it. So you throw your ambitions for money out, go spend some money. You'll find a way to replenish it. You'll trust yourself. And if for some bizarre reason you can't, then you've got a community of friends and you're all engaged in the same thing. Sometimes you lend them money. Sometimes they lend you money. You've got a tribe of people who can help you out. Stop being alone. Stop being isolated. Stop being afraid of the future. Stop chintzing out and hoarding. And you understand, when you hoard, you make yourself scared. When you hoard, you are telling your brain, your body, your innards, your intestines that winter's coming and you're going to half starve to death and you've got to not touch those pickles until February and so on, right? Yeah, stop hoarding, man. Oof. Oof. It's rough. It's rough. Last of my coins, so weird. Top amount, top up for next stream. Thank you so much. Fuck being average is one of your best staff. Do you remember the podcast number for that? I don't. I mean, the rants do blur a little bit together to be. Yeah, and listen, get together. You can hook up with other FDR listeners in the neighborhood or other people you trust. Get together and say, okay, you know, let's coach each other with spending. Let's figure out ways we can make money. Let's, you know, I mean, the world is your oyster these days, right? The world is your oyster. There's so many different ways to make money these days. And, you know, study sales, learn sales. You're not just born at it. Learn sales and upgrade your stuff. Live among nice things. Like, live among nice things. I say this post being married. Live among nice things. Somebody says, my internal life is horrible. For example, I have creepy amoral dreams that make me want to vomit. I'm in my 50s, but I'm always dreaming about sexual encounters I had in my teens. Oh, you can hit me up for a call in if you like. C-A-L-L-I-N at freedomain.com. Yeah, like I remember, let me tell you how ridiculous it was. After I graduated from theater school, I didn't have much money at all, but I bought a nice four-poster bed because I wanted to wake up feeling like I was in Sense and Sensibility or the second half of Great Expectations. I just wanted to wake up feeling a little bit like an aristocrat. So I bought a nice secondhand four-poster bed. It was ridiculous. It was mad. Absolutely mad. For God's sakes, spend money on a good mattress. I can't emphasize this enough. Spend money on a good mattress. I know it seems ridiculous. Spend money on a good... there's almost nothing better that you can do for your quality of life than spend money... Well, don't eat till you're hungry and spend money on a good mattress. And also a good pillow, man. Experiment. Go to places. Go to a mattress store. Try out 20, 30, 40 different mattresses. I don't care. Spend money on a good mattress. Spend money on a good pillow. Man, a third of your life is spent speaking. Don't chintz out on a third of your life. And that third of your life is vastly responsible for the quality of the other two-thirds of your life. My pregnant wife has stolen the bed with the pregnancy pillow. Thing is massive. Oh, yeah, yeah, for sure. For sure. Get blockers for your ears if you live in an out neighborhood. Get blackout curtains for your windows if you're a night owl and you don't like to wake up too early in the morning. Get a mask. I sleep with a sleep mask on because I get that extra. For me, that extra hour of sleep in the morning is the difference between a great day and a fantastic day, or a good day and a great day. Just do all of these things and invest in yourself. Don't live like a hobo. Don't live like you're still a broke-ass kid with a trashy family. Just spend money on yourself. And flip your mattress, for God's sakes. Read the labels. Flip your mattress from time to time. It's really important. Otherwise, you end up with one divot you can't get out of, right? Oh, it drives me crazy. Yeah, just, you know, you're worth it. Think of all the time you've invested in philosophy. Invest in your environment. Invest in your comfort. Invest in your personal hygiene. Invest in your looks. Invest in how you present yourself to people. Win a gold digger. No, attract a gold digger. Or whatever, right? Yeah. You're worth it. No, you're worth it. L'Oreal, they know what they're talking about, and they're not kidding. You're worth it. Pamper yourself, especially if you weren't pampered as a child. If you lived through, you know, scurvy town, you lived through poverty town, you lived through camping. We're not camping. We're not poor. We're just camping, right? So if you had diminished stuff around you as a kid, if you had a bunch of penny pinchers and financial fear mongers around you as a kid, yeah, go to the spa. If you're in the gym and it's got a sauna, do you know how great a sauna is for your body, for your longevity, for your heart? Like, go sit in the sauna and meditate and go get massages and pamper yourself. For God's sakes, you're all operating at a very high level in the realm of philosophy, and the mind and the body are one. Just treat yourself. Get nice stuff. Your family were penny pinchers when you were a kid. Yeah, yeah, for sure. I sauna and cold pool after the gym every time. It's incredible. Yeah. Don't go to the crappy dark dungeon of metal discs. Go to a nice gym. Go to a nice gym. Go to a gym that's well lit. Go to a gym with lots of mirrors if you have to, because there aren't a lot of girls in the dark dungeon of man traps. Do what you need to. Do aromatherapy. Heck, I've tried... what the thing with the needles, right? I've tried the needle thing. I've tried suction stuff for a back, right? So just do stuff that's nice for yourself. Do stuff that makes you feel good. Do stuff that makes you comfortable in your own skin. Stretch. Don't just work on muscles. Work on stretching to stay flexible. Acupuncture. Because if you don't stretch, your muscles will shorten and shorten, and you're more prone to injury. Yeah, just pamper yourselves. Please, be good to yourselves. spend yourself into peace of mind, spend yourself into physical comfort, spend yourself into feeling good and positive. Stretching is a big part of my personal trainer workout. Absolutely. I stretch 10 to 15 minutes at least every day. And it's super important for me. Yeah, flexibility is important for longevity. Yeah, for sure. For sure. Limit your doom scrolling. Limit your bad news about the world. That stuff is infectious. And staring at things you can't change that just get worse and worse is really, really bad for your health. Limit your stress, minimize your stress as best as possible without being completely uninformed about anything, right? But it's amusing seeing service providers being nervous and sorry about the cost of repairs, especially if it's unexpected. They seem surprised and relieved when I say, I'll pay for whatever's needed to fix it. No problem. Yeah, doom scrolling sucks my life away. I want to get a dumb phone. Yeah. Get a massage gun. Yeah, you see these things? Get a massage gun, especially if you exercise. And here's the thing. I'll do this. You turn the massage on and just check your body. Just turn the massage gun and run it over every muscle you've got and see. There'll be something that's sore, which you don't even know about in particular. Massage guns completely saved my life as far as that goes, right? Just, you know, stretch and massage gun and find out what's tight and work to loosen it and just keep your body fluid and all of that. Super important. Take voice lessons, not for singing necessarily, but take voice lessons so you know how to connect your voice to your body so you can express yourself better. So if you need to convince someone, you can get that emotional energy behind your voice that's going to drive those words home. Voice training can do that for you. What did I think about acupuncture? I didn't find it super helpful. I felt that the cupping was a little better for that. So, I had an exercise injury where one of the tendons from my arm to my back shoulder got crystallized, and it's still a tiny little bit tight, like, I don't know, years and years later, but I found stretching and a massage gun really, really helped that. So if you can't afford a massage, okay, I get that, but at least, you know, you can, $100 on a massage gun and just, you'll find it remarkable because you'll find these tight spots you didn't even know were tight, especially if you exercise. Oh, I didn't know that muscle was tight. Loosen it, work to loosen it. Pff, feels fantastic. It feels fantastic. And, you know, we have a lot of challenges, those of us who tell the truth in the world, and we have to take care of ourselves. We must take care of ourselves. It is a responsibility you have to the world as a whole. Those of us who can be the conduits and the copper wires to truth without melting, without faulting out, without flaming out. Those of us who can bring the truth must take care of ourselves because there are people out there who want to make us stressed and negative and take us out that way. Steph, what about vacations overseas? Nothing lavish, just travel, swimming, and being in a foreign country. Beautiful. I once took a book of all of my favorite philosophy books I never got to read. I went to a tropical island for 2 weeks straight, and I played beach volleyball and read philosophy. Absolutely. Absolutely. Whatever, wherever makes you happy, wherever you feel connected, wherever you feel enriched, go there. Because here's the thing, I guarantee you, like I'm old enough now, I'm sure most of you are younger than me, I tell you this, man, straight up, I'm old enough now that when I think back about the vacations I had, I would not remember that time otherwise. You won't remember just another boring week at work or even an exciting week at work, but 10 years from now, 20 years from now, you'll remember those vacations, you'll have those photographs, and you will have something that's out of the regular ebb and flow of your daily life. I mean, I have these shows where I can remember this, right? So yeah, take your vacations. And who knows who you're going to meet on that vacation. Talk to people, engage with people, make jokes with people, laugh with people, make sudden friends overseas and go and do cool things. Ugh. I remember vacations and periods of extreme stress. Well, hopefully those two aren't the same. Yeah, I still remember going, I went from Morocco for the Y2K. I spent one night in Toronto and then went for a couple of weeks to China for business. And yeah, do yoga. It's based as hell too. Yeah, yoga, Ashtanga yoga in particular to me was just fantastic. I loved it. I used to do Sunday afternoon, an hour and a half of Ashtanga yoga and then an hour and a half of aromatherapy massage. Why? Because I was operating at a very high level. When you operate at a very high level, like you know that elite athletes have sports doctors and massage chairs and masseuses and ice baths and saunas. Like they are working at a very high level, so they really need to take care of themselves. Please, I'm begging you, do the things that replenish you. Do the and eat well and don't stuff your face with garbage. I mean, it's going to happen once in a while or whatever, right? But oh my gosh. Somebody says, dated a guy that said vacations reminded him of his evil mother and refused to go on one. Even if I paid, he was boring as dog crap. Yeah. Ah, all right. Okay. Well, listen, I'm late for another appointment, so I really, really appreciate everyone's support tonight. Again, if you're listening to this later, a tip would be most gratefully appreciated. You can go to freedomain.com/donate. Here, of course, on the show, you can tip as well. And I'm really, really glad we went down this rabbit hole. I think it's fantastic, and I hope that this helps you enjoy your life. What you find that when you spend money and pamper yourself, you gain confidence. And when you gain confidence, you just make money. You can do things that are harder. You've got more energy. You've got more focus. You've got more follow through. And so do whatever you can to diminish anxiety and fear. And one of those things is just spending money. Because your brain, as I've always said, is empirical. If you're hoarding money, even if you say to yourself, oh, I can make any money. If you're hoarding money, your brain just processes that deep down. And that's where your emotions are empirical. They're not intellectual. So that would be my suggestion. I hope that helps. And thank you, everyone, for your support. freedomain.com/donate to help out. You can, of course, also join up at freedomain.locals.com for a subscription there. And you can use the promo code try it for a month for free. All caps UPP 2022. Mwah. Thanks, everyone, so much, my friends. Lots of love from up here. I'll talk to you soon.